B-Pod Studios.
Brian Malonis is one half of the Ring of Honor's Bouncers, along with the Beer City Bruiser, who will be challenging for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship on Sunday night in Lowell against either the Gorillas of Destiny or Jay and Mark Briscoe. Tickets available at ROHWrestling.com. Brian, do you have a preference of opponent coming up here in Lowell?
No, I mean, I really don't. I mean, we've locked horns. I mean, familiarity. We've locked horns with the Briscoes a couple times. But, you know, I'm up for challenges, too. I mean, the Gorillas of Destiny are, you know, they're big dogs in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling and now in Ring of Honor. And, you know, it'd be real fun to mix it up with them. Too, but I'm just excited for us to have the opportunity. It doesn't matter who comes in. I hope they beat the hell out of each other Saturday night.
And then you guys can just pick up the pieces at the end and just run away with the belts and Lowell.
Yeah, it still counts, right?
Yeah, it still counts. Hey, one of Homer Simpson's great victories was in his mind when he beat the boxer by default. I mean, it's okay to win by default. You win. I mean,
as long as the history books say that we won the World Tag Team Championships on July 21st, 2019 in Lowell, Massachusetts, that works for me.
That's all that counts. And we can get to some football stuff and we can debate on whether certain things count or not. But we'll get there shortly because you and I have had some good back and forths about football team preferences.
Yes, we have.
I believe, Brian, we first met at a Chaotic Wrestling show a few years ago in Haverhill, and I think that was Dijak's last night as Chaotic Champion. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir. That is correct.
And I think we hit it off pretty well, other than and you were nice enough to introduce me to some people in the locker room, and very nice, so... To steal a phrase, chat me up on your journey through Chaotic Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long one. I mean, long story long, I guess. My buddy, I had a buddy in high school who had done some training with Killer Kowalski School and worked shows, and there's a trainer by the name of Mike Hollow who was Kowalski's head trainer, and then my buddy had wanted to get back in, and I wanted to start, and you know, we were researching, and he realized that the old trainer at Kowalski's had started his own school with Chaotic Wrestling, and they were having their first meeting a couple weeks after that, so this was probably September-ish, late August, early September of 2001. That the school had their first ever meeting and I had went to. I didn't have the money initially to sign up, so it took me a couple months to get the money. And a very, very, very wonderful lady, the mom of one of my friends, lent me the money to sign up. And I signed up the day before my 20th birthday. So I've been affiliated with Chaotic Wrestling for almost half of my life at this point. But yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable company and the unbelievable success story, I think, in the world of independent wrestling. You don't see – I mean, there are companies that have flashed, or there are companies that draw more, have gotten more publicity out there. But just as far as a consistent wrestling product, and then just the people who have who have come out of there. Some of them, some of these guys are legitimately my best friends on earth. Because we all came up together, but just some unbelievable success stories. I mean, just to give you an example, starting the very same week as me was Ring of Honor senior official Todd Sinclair. We literally started in the business together, the very same week. So pretty incredible when you think of the names that have come through Chaotic Wrestling, both, kind of under the old regime, and then once Brian Fiore took over the school, continued that legacy.
Todd Sinclair is a name that I consistently hear as one of the better officials in wrestling. I did not know he was a Chaotic alumni, so that's a very cool little detail.
Yeah, I mean he was also he was original kind of Ring of Honor guy too, and he was with us. I don't remember. It was early to mid 2000s, and he had left. He left Chaotic Wrestling. He was actually booking it too. He was like kind of running the show, but he had left because of the amount of dates Ring of Honor had started to run. And this is in the very infancy of Ring of Honor, so he's been there, you know, since the beginning. But yeah, he came up through you know, through Chaotic Wrestling, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, Todd is. You know, probably the best official I've ever been in the ring with. He just has such a passion for it. He just so damn good. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, everybody just speaks so highly of him. And I remember him in his early Ring of Honor days when I was going to the Cambridge Armory and Wakefield High School and just all that stuff. Another alumni of Chaotic Wrestling is somebody who had a great run in NXT, and that's Tommaso Ciampa. I happened to see him at a show last night in Melrose, and he speaks very highly of you. Do you have a good Tommaso Ciampa story from your days in Chaotic?
I mean, there's a couple. I mean, it's funny.
And if you can't tell any of them, it's okay. I won't be offended if you can't tell any of them, because it'll get somebody in trouble, and I don't want to do that.
I mean, I got a couple of good ones that we can tell on there, and hey, maybe I'll tell you a couple off there. But no, I mean, Tommaso is somebody who I one of my, you know, best friends I've ever made in wrestling. You know, I love him so much, and I'm so happy for all his success and all the adversity he's faced and has come back from. And he's currently going through that now. And anybody who doubts that guy is going to come back, you know, it's a losing proposition. Tommaso's going to be back. He'll regain the spot he had, and he'll take it even further. But fun. I mean, a couple fun Tommaso stories. I mean, when he started, I think it was like his first night of class. Like he like blew out like both of his knees type thing. Like, so he like started out with a bang, got hurt right away. And you know, I'd been around long enough at that point where you see people come and go. So when he got hurt, you know, never thought we'd see this guy again. But for the entire duration of him rehabbing his injuries, he came to class every single night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and he came on Saturdays and Sundays, and he brought his notebook, and he sat there, and he took notes, and he would ask question after question after question, even to the point of the rest of us, you know, it's 10:30 at night, we've all bumped 100 times each, you know, we've been put through the ringer by our trainers. And Tommaso has sat there and watched and taken notes, and as fresh as a daisy, just asking question after question when we just want to go home because we just got our brains beaten in. Yeah, I mean, Tommaso was very popular with the trainers, maybe not so popular with the other guys right out of the gate. But it's funny, me and him kind of had, you know, we've had rocky times in our relationship. You know, it's funny, especially the early days.
But Brian, that's the thing with friends, is you don't know the value of your friendship until you go through a tough time. And then you realize, wow, this person's actually committed to making the friendship work.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling's kind of a funny thing, too. I mean, we're all essentially competing for a very limited amount of spots, and the competition is really directly with each other. So, especially when you're in your 20s, you all want the same thing. You know, there's a very limited amount of opportunities, and you're just full of piss and vinegar, full of testosterone and all that good stuff, you know. And I mean that in a like the natural state of testosterone, some male in their 20s would have. And it just becomes this thing where natural rivalries kind of start to form. And it doesn't mean like you're not friends. It's just like you're all competing for the same thing, essentially. And no matter how much you want to be a team player and your friends and things like that, it really is a competition, and it can get quite quite cutthroat at times. But I mean, there's a group of us that really forged a really strong bond and relationship through those, and they are guys who we don't talk as much as I'd like because you know, because of schedules and living in different parts of the country now. And but the bonds that we forged because of what we've gone through together, you know, a guy like Tommaso, you know, we're going to be old men someday and be friends.
Absolutely. I know I always tell people that without professional wrestling, sports entertainment, I wouldn't have a lot of the friendships and relationships that I have in my life. So I know that it's very important to a lot of people, that common interest. How did you end up with Ring of Honor?
Yeah, you know, so I actually had an opportunity with Ring of Honor a number of years ago. I don't even quite remember the year now, but ironically enough, I was on an indie show in Vermont, and I wrestled Delirious on that show and made a very strong impression and got invited to do a dark match. This is back in the old, like, HD net days. You know, I'll tell an aside here, a very funny story with Christopher Daniels. So I'm an extra talent. I'm there for a dark match. And Christopher Daniels comes up to me at the show and goes, "Hey, I need you to hand out my Christmas cards." And I'm just kind of looking at him. I'm like, "Are you serious? Like, you?" He's like, "Yeah, I need you to go out and hand out my Christmas cards." So, okay, easy task. I just go tell people, like, "Hey, Christopher Daniels told me to give you this Christmas card." So I do that for a couple people, and Christopher Daniels comes and finds me and goes, "Hey, you can't tell anybody that it's not from you." And I was like, oh, there's the rib right there. There's the rib. So I'm just this weird freaking guy. And, you know, I mean, going around and giving all these, you know, Chris Hero, you know, Cesaro is there. You know, Kevin Steen, you know, the American Wolves. Thank God I knew Eddie Edwards. And I'm just this weird guy handing out cards. So a little while later, Sami Zayn comes up and finds me and goes, "I got to tell you, man, I just thought you were some, like, weird, creepy guy, like, trying to get over with the boys, giving out Christmas cards." And I was like, no, I wasn't. So, but I had, you know, so I did a dark match. It was in Plymouth, Mass. In that dark match, it was a six-man tag. On the other team was Matt Taven. So kind of cool. So that was the first time, my first taste of Ring of Honor, and it just didn't work out at that point. So then, I was actually running Chaotic Wrestling, kind of had thought, yeah, that's going to be my lot in life. Like, I'm not, you know, I wasn't going to be able to get to the next level or anything. And kind of had a falling out with Chaotic, just a disagreement over, you know, I'm a big, this is for the sports hub. You know, I think you'll appreciate this reference.
Of course.
The Bill Parcells, the old, if they want you to cook dinner, they ought to let you buy the groceries.
Yep.
So I just, you know, I was put in charge, but then I felt like I was micromanaged. So it just really led to me leaving Chaotic, but it also led to me having a pretty big chip on my shoulder because they kind of told me that they only wanted to use me part-time, you know, almost like phasing me out. And I got real mad about that. And at the same time, I'd also heard from Hansen that Kevin Kelly had asked about me and if I was still working, and he'd always really liked my work. And so I said, "What the hell? I'm gonna go to a camp. I'm just gonna do one of these tryout camps. I'm just gonna do one, you know, and see what, you know, what can happen." And I made a really strong impression at the camp. And it takes a while. It takes a while to make inroads. And I had a lot of advocates there. I mean, obviously Todd Sinclair, Kevin Kelly, Delirious, you know, was a really strong advocate for me, which is a really good advocate to have. And I just kept going along to, you know, some of the tapings. I'd get used once in a while, and other times I wouldn't. But then we're in Baltimore, Maryland. I remember this very vividly because two of my closest friends in wrestling were both right there when I got the word that I was going to be in the top prospect tournament, which, you know, blew my mind. You know, Hansen was right there. Todd Sinclair was right there. I mean, me and Hansen may have shed a few tears together over me. But it was, you know, a really great moment. And it made a really positive impression. And then it still took almost another year after that to get to a point where, you know, I was going to be featured on TV.
And so you would say that this go around with Ring of Honor has been a good experience for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's you know, the biggest thing about Ring of Honor, it's you know, that fans might not realize, or I don't even know if fans care about this sort of thing, is just the locker room atmosphere.
Brian, we care about everything. We're fans. We care about every little detail, whether it's real, whether it's not real, whether it's just an internet rumor. We care about everything. And we're going to criticize everything, too.
Well, I mean, notice the one thing you never hear, though, from Ring of Honor is, like, discourse in the locker room. You know, you hear stories, and you never hear that from Ring of Honor, and that's just because it's a really tight-knit group, and we genuinely care about each other. We genuinely care about the company and making it better and pushing it forward. You know, I remember when, you know, the Elite left, everybody, you know, I think every interview I did, people wanted a take on, you know, what do you think of this? What are you, you know, you worried about the company and this and that? And my kind of answer to that was, well, I looked and looked around the locker room, and Jay and Mark Briscoe are still there, and Jay Lethal is still there. And that right there told me that we're going to be just fine. You know, nobody should worry about Ring of Honor, because I look around and I see those three guys who have been the backbone of that company for so long, who are locker room leaders. They're people that I look up to. Ring of Honor is going to be just fine. You know, especially with those guys leading the locker room. But the locker room is unbelievable.
And Brian, you also have good ownership. You have Sinclair Broadcasting Group, which is one of the leading television providers of syndicated television across at least the lower 48, if not more.
Yeah.
Right? So, like,
yeah,
you have the financial backing, and from all accounts, you have good managers, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you there. I mean, again, it comes back to caring. I mean, the management of this company genuinely cares about the guys in the locker room, genuinely care about the company. Look how hard they work to, you know, through that strong partnership that they've built with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, we wrestled in a freaking sold-out Madison Square Garden. You know what I mean? Like,
well, and that's what I was going to say, Brian, to add to that,
management.
is you have an owner who fought through the WWE red tape to make sure that his date at Madison Square Garden actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, other companies would just roll over and be like, okay, we got it. Vince owns the garden. No. They fought and they won. I mean, how many people get victories on the WWE other than, you know, people who think they can just rebook the territory? And by the way, I always think I can rebook the territory too, so...
Anybody who thinks Ring of Honor would roll over in that has probably never met Joe Koff, who I can't say enough good things about, and him and Greg, who's the GM. I mean, they're present. They're at the shows. They're available. If we need to talk to them, they're two of the guys that for forever I'll be able to say I wrestled in Madison Square Garden, and it's because of guys like Joe and Greg, and then some of the people that came before them. When I think of the old owner, Corey Silkin, who's still very much around and part of the company, and you know, the legacy that he's built, you know, you hit it right on the head. I mean, the leadership and the ownership and the management of Ring of Honor is top notch.
And I was at that Madison Square Garden show, and I probably wouldn't have gotten to Madison Square Garden had I not been invited to that show. And just a great atmosphere and a great showcase for all you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was great when I think about the fact that...
Actually, you know what? Yeah. Now that I think about it, I ran into your brother. I was walking by and your brother stopped me, I think. and it took me a second to recognize him. And I had that moment like, weren't you just in the... Oh, yeah, you guys are...
Well, and he doesn't have a beard either, so...
So I think that's what threw me.
Yeah, for those people that don't know, I have a brother who used to wrestle, but we look pretty similar. Even though I'm 8 years older, we look pretty identical. He wrestled as the Playboy Jimmy James. Go ahead and look that up, folks. You're welcome.
I just got an email from Mark, who does PR for Ring of Honor, who tells me that if you're an Honor Club member, which I am, they have changed kind of their policy here, and that they are going to make those Honor Club make those television tapings available for Honor Club members. So that's kind of cool, is that if you're an Honor Club member, you don't have to wait until Ring of Honor TV comes to TV. So that's a kind of cool thing.
Yeah, you know, I just saw that today, and I think that's an unbelievable thing that they can do for and reward the people who, you know, really the hardcore fans that support Ring of Honor and have for so long. You know, I mean, we tape TV. I mean, the spoilers are out there. I mean, it's no secret. Like, I get tagged in, you know, all these tweets 5 minutes after, you know, after TV tapings with all the results and stuff. So they're out there. People want them. But, yeah, if you want to see these matches and you don't want to wait for them to come on TV, you got to sign up for Honor Club, which is an unbelievable service with all the archived, you know, content and things like that. It's, you know, it's great. I spend a lot of time.
So
on
I do
Club.
Too. I was a day one Honor Club guy.
Membership.
I was a day one Honor Club guy because I wanted to see the archive. And the thing about the Honor Club is every show they bring the broadcasters, they bring the television crew, and you can watch it. And I'm a live event guy. Generally speaking, I'm not a week to week wrestling TV person, or at least watching the full program, you know, skimming it. I just love the full shows, and you know, in the case of Ring of Honor, they don't disappoint.
We don't have house shows. We don't have those quote unquote house shows. You know what I mean? Like for us as performers, it's really there's no nights off. You know what I mean? I'm not to say that guys in WWE off at house shows, but
doing TV versus a live event is a different structure. Instead of having say a 7 or 8 minute match, you guys can tell a story in 12 minutes and not have to worry about the commercial break or working in a two box, or in a two box for people who aren't smart to TV is one box is the wrestling show and the other is the commercial.
Yeah, and it's live. There's no, you know, that's, you know, operating without a net. I mean that's been one of the biggest, I think, not adjustments for me, but just it's really puts that extra level of pressure of like, hey, this is live. You know, the world is out there to see it, and whatever you do here is going to live out there on the internet forever.
That's the world we live in now. So speaking of things without a net, how are your Pittsburgh Steelers looking? I should back up, Brian. Do you want to get cheered on Sunday or booed? Because we can go deeper into the Steelers Patriots conversation depending on how you want the crowd to react to you on Sunday night in Lowell. It's your call.
I know, right? If I share my true feelings, maybe I'm gonna. You know, it's funny you mentioned Mark emailed you. If I bash the Patriots too hard, I'm probably gonna get a phone call from Mark.
Oh, is he a Patriots honk?
No, just for saying, hey, what are you doing?
Oh, you're supposed to be cheered on Sunday. Well, they already have that problem because their world champion, Matt Taven, is supposed to be a villain, and he's going to get a hometown welcome.
Yeah, as he should. Yeah, I mean, you come into your hometown, you got to know, you know, and for all of us from the New England area, that's as close as we're going to get to, you know, a home game. I mean, for me, for Lowell, it's unbelievable. Maybe people don't even realize that at this point I could probably wrestle another 10 years and the city I've wrestled the most matches in will still be Lowell, Massachusetts.
That's okay.
Which was Chaotic Wrestling's home base for, a number of years. But you asked me about my Steelers. The phrase addition by subtraction comes to mind, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. I like what they've done with the defense. I think they've addressed some, which was really their problem last year. And, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's not a loss because he didn't play last year. I mean, the offense is going to be tough. The passing game is not going to be as open. Juju Smith is not going to be as open without Antonio Brown opening things up for him. But at the end of the day, they still have one of the best quarterbacks in the world. You know, Juju is a legitimate number one receiver. James Conner proved he could carry the loads. I think their offense, it's not going to be that top two or three unit that we're used to seeing with the Killer Bees. But I also think the defense is going to take a pretty big jump this year.
They should. And I know, like, I'm super critical of the Patriots. And I shouldn't be because they have Belichick and they have this, that, and the other thing. But I look at the Patriots and I'm like, they're vulnerable. They're really vulnerable. Brady can only do so much. They have no receivers. They're running game. This, that, and the other thing. And yeah, you just said it. They're always in the Final Four, and they're always competing for a Super Bowl. And I look at them, and I go, how do they do it?
You know, honestly, they also the most amazing thing about their run that nobody ever
No, Brian, I'm going to stop you here. The answer you should have given me is it's because they cheat.
I'm not, you know, I dislike the Pats for a number of reasons. You know, it none of it's because of that. Like, that stuff to me is just nonsense for people who, you know, may or may not know a thing about football to argue. And I mean, the Deflategate thing was the stupidest thing of all time.
But Brian, they did it.
Well, they did. But you're telling me, like, if you're an opposing team and you're trying to say, yeah, that's the reason why this team stomped our brains in was because they had, you know, footballs that were under, you know, that were 3% less PSI. I don't even know what the hell that means, by the way. Like, If you're a football team making excuses, that's your excuse why you lost. Like, reevaluate how you do things. I mean, it's the silliest stuff. The only thing I would say that you could really point to, if it could have ever been proven, was the filming of the Rams walkthrough, which at this point I think has been completely disproved. That there's no evidence whatsoever. Like, if they had done that. Then they deserve a lot of criticism if they'd actually filmed a walkthrough. But
so when this is over, I stop recording this, I will tell you the whole story with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is a good one.
no worries.
So you are challenging along with your tag team partner, the Beer City Bruiser, on Sunday night in Lowell, Massachusetts. You'll be fighting the winners of the Gorillas of Destiny or Jay and Mark Briscoe. That match will be decided Saturday night in New York. You can get tickets for the Lowell show at ringofhonorwrestling.com. Brian Malonis, thank you so much for your time. And I will see you on Sunday. I will be sitting ringside on Sunday, so you can crash into me if you want.
Well, let's share a beer, and hopefully when I leave there, I'll have a little extra something in my gear bag that I didn't when I walked in.
I'm hoping you have, what are they, 10 pounds of gold, or is that something else?
Well, that's the NWA title.
Okay,
have you seen the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles? They are enormous. my worry is if we do win these things, I'm going to have to get these freaking things through airport security going forward.
So I saw the, I actually got one of the replicas for the Ring of Honor World title, and I'm actually having that changed into a Purple Rain, because you know how Taven had the purple belt and this, that, and the other thing with it. So I'm having that changed. So I know how big and heavy these things are, and the one that I have is the replica. So I can only imagine how big the actual one is.
Yeah, they're no joke. They are no joke.
But good for Ring of Honor for putting quality into their championships.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, I guess final word on Ring of Honor. Everybody has written off this company yet again. But hey, they've lost. There's a litany of guys that have come in that company and left, and somehow they've continued to thrive. So, I wouldn't worry about Ring of Honor. We're going to be just fine. And, if you're a wrestling fan in the New England area, come out on Sunday in Lowell and come see why Ring of Honor is the best professional wrestling on the planet.
And cheer Brian Malonis, because he's a good person.
Absolutely.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.